Hey everybody, this is Dashe, and then I have Anthony Arroyo.
Arroyo.
With us. So you guys can get to know him. He graduated from Drake with a digital media production degree. He's been a commercial photographer for brands like Ray Gun shirts, freelanced for Drake, and did a portrait for Jay Ivy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want to tell them a little bit about yourself before we get into the questions?
Yeah, so on top of like Ray Gun and like doing stuff for Drake when I worked there, and like doing cool stuff like Jay Ivy, currently I work for a company called Matera. So I'm a commercial photographer for them, and I do food photography for like Hy-Vee, another grocery brand called Schnucks, Aldi's, National Pork Board, and a bunch of other like companies that we work with.
Awesome. So you went to DMACC.
I did.
You actually are a Campus Chronicle alumni.
Yes. Yes.
For those who don't know, can you tell us how DMACC prepared you for Drake?
Yes. And I'll tell you even my journey to even get to DMACC, because I was not supposed to go to DMACC whatsoever. I actually played football in high school, and I had full rides to like 20 or so schools. I decided to stay here in Des Moines and go to Grandview. I did fall camp, and I hated it. I hated it so much. I knew I liked football, but I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. So when I got there, and I was just like, man, like, this is not what I want to do for 4 years. So 2 weeks in, I quit. 2 days before the semester started at DMACC, I showed up, picked my classes, and then I was going to school at DMACC. I had no idea how nice the Ankeny campus was. When I showed up, I was surprised. A lot of other surprises were like how suburban it was. I was a lot of the times the only person of color in the classroom. So the next semester I would take some classes at the urban campus. That made me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
But DMACC, what was your original question?
No, yeah. You're answering. I said, yeah. Tell me about DMACC and how it prepared you for Drake.
Okay, so DMACC, I remember my first year, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, but I was just like, I'm at school and I'm doing something. That first semester was cool. I joined the Campus Chronicle.
Yes.
That gave me some
stability.
Shout out
to us.
Shout out to Andy, man. Shout out to Andy. I bought my first camera at that point. I was just using my iPhone for everything. But bought my first camera, Canon 80D. I actually got a job in the marketing department at DMACC way too early. They shouldn't have hired me. I was 18, and I barely even knew how to use this camera. But
you were so good. That's why they hired you, right?
I don't know. I bet I could try to find the little... I brought like a flip book of photos that I've taken. Like, I was ready. I was prepared for the interview. And they're like, yo, this kid is passionate, so we'll just hire him. But I made so many mistakes. And they just couldn't keep having me make those mistakes. So I think I got fired they fired me.
Oh.
I got hired like October of 2017. And they fired me by March or April of 2018.
Was it like a soft fire, or was it like...
It was like, hey, they called me and they were like, yo, you messed up on this thing. And low-key, they were hiding things that like I had messed up on, but they didn't tell me.
Yeah.
So I guess it built up and they were like, yeah, we gotta find someone else that knows what they're doing. Which I'm like, fair. I didn't know what I was doing. So I'm glad, because I don't think enough young people experience, like, failure. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, that kind of, like, who cares?
Yeah.
It's a DMACC job, community college job.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
And you could still put it on your resume.
Exactly. I don't. But, exactly, no. I could. I don't, but I could. So, like, that first year was, like, just a lot of learning.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, dang, what? Like, who am I as a person now? Because I left that identity as being, like, an athlete and was transitioning into, like... Am I, like, a journalist? Am I a photographer? Am I both? They're like, what do I want to do? So going into my second year of college that summer, I was like, I'm just going to learn everything I can and get really good. And there was, like, a huge, like, I want to call it, like, a, not a trend, like, a, it was, like, this exponential growth that happened that summer where I just, like, dove into, like, YouTube videos. And I still had taken a photography class at DMACC. I was just focused on my liberal arts AA. So going into that second year, I finally took a class, and it was studio photography. So I learned about lights, which, that changed. Honestly, that class has changed my life. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been in the jobs that I've gotten in the last 6 years I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I wouldn't be in the studio at Mainframe Studios. I wouldn't have got the opportunities I've gotten with freelancing. Like, that class alone, because the other two classes were complete, like, whatever. I didn't learn anything. But that class, like, I got to use the equipment. I got to take it, like, on shoots outside. I got, like, I just got my hands on it. And, like, I don't know why I was like this when I was 18, 19, but I was just like, I really like this. So I'm going to, like, really do it. So at that point, it's getting toward that first semester of my sophomore year. I was like, okay, I'm going to make money off photography now. That first semester, I think I made like $6,000 doing like senior sessions for high schoolers. I did my first wedding then. I don't know. I was just doing all kinds of stuff, families, whatever. So I was just like, dang, okay. Like, I can make more money doing this than working some little, like, whatever job.
Yeah.
Like, I can really do this. Carried over to the second semester, and my portfolio was growing. Graduated from DMAC 2 months, not even 2 months later. Yeah, 2 months later, graduated, and then had the commercial photography job at Raygun.
Yes.
So I was like, oh my, like, dang, this is crazy. And at that time, I was considering, like, do I go to Drake? Do I not go to Drake? And that's where, like, I would make decisions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good. So that's actually a good segue to the next question. Do you remember August 26th, 2019?
No, not that specific date. I don't.
That is your first day at Drake.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. You found that video?
Yes,
oh
I did.
Oh, my gosh. That's
and
so
I have a quote funny. From it for
okay,
you.
Tell me.
Okay. So you said, as a transfer student, I feel out of place right now. I feel like everyone has their cliques. I know some people, but I'm not in any friend groups. So that's where I am right now. I'm excited. I'm very excited about my classes. I feel like a lot of good things are going to happen here. So what are the good things that happened there?
That's, okay. So that first semester at Drake, it was just a lot of like, growing pains. The workload was a lot different at Drake. There's a lot more homework, a lot more material to go through than there was at DMAC, so I had to really get better at studying because I wasn't good at studying. Like, this was me, no offense to DMAC, but like I was really figuring out how to do college now. So there was that. Luckily, I had a really good advisor. I appreciate that about Drake. Again, no hate against DMAC. My advisors there weren't the best, but my advisor at Drake, Chris Snyder, he was amazing. I already had a relationship with him years prior because I knew him when I was in high school. So that just helped a lot. What I love the most about Drake, and like especially that first semester before COVID happened, I was in a group called La Fuerza Latina. And like most of my upbringing, like we can talk about this in like projects I've done, but I'm Mexican American.
Yeah.
But growing up, my parents kind of like kept me away from certain family members because they weren't up to good. And they kind of like isolated us. And luckily they did that. Honestly, they did that with their own good intentions. I think about it in hindsight with some good and bad, like, damn, like this happened because I wasn't around these kind of people. But now that I'm older, when I got to Drake, I was like, oh, I'm gonna hang out with these like people. And it made me feel a lot
more. So it was
more
diverse.
Way more. I mean, Drake is not diverse.
Oh, okay.
But, like, the people I chose to be around, I felt like we all had this little struggle of, like, there's not a lot of us on campus, so we got to be around each other.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. I can't remember his name, but he ran Drake, what's it called, Crew Scholars. He's not there no more, but we had a conversation one time, and he was like, Anthony, you need to understand you're a rare breed on campus. You're a Latino, and you're a male. Like, think about all the other male Latinos on this campus. Like, there's, like, three other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just know, like, if you need help, like, you can reach out. Because he would say, like, transfer students, and especially transfer students of color, tend to be a lot more, like, you work off campus, and you come to school, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he told me that when I first got to Drake, I was like, I'm going to try to be involved as much as possible, because I was working. Like, I freelanced, and I worked at Raygun, and I was working for the marketing department at Drake, actually.
Yeah.
So I was doing a lot already, but then I also did La Fuerza Latina. I ended up being on the executive board for them, and I ended up doing Drake Mag while I was at Drake, too. So I was just being super involved, But then the pandemic happened.
Yeah, I was looking at that timeline. Like, yeah. I was like, ooh, it's starting to get pretty close exactly. to when the pandemic happened.
Mm-hmm. So I only had that one regular first semester, and then until spring break, which really we only had February until a little bit of March,
yeah.
because Drake doesn't start their second semester until, like, the end of January, because we have J-term. So I didn't really have a whole bunch of time on campus as a regular student. So my experience compared to, like, most Drake students is a lot different. Because I just had the one semester, and then it was online.
Oh, man.
I know. So it's hard to, it's hard to think of, like, what do I love about Drake?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's tougher for me, but, like, I do love, like, Erin Bell. Like, I had a great relationship with her. She's the one who runs the mascot program. R.I.P. OG Griff, he just passed away a couple days ago. But, like, I had a great relationship with her. A great relationship with, like, Tony. I can't remember Tony's last name, but I don't think he's there no more. My transfer advisor, she was super great. They're just really good people at Drake, so, yeah.
This isn't part of my questions, mm-hmm. but it's kind of a good one, too. Like, do you think that college actually helped you in your career, or do you think you could have done it without college?
Okay, that's a great question. I will say, without answering first, I'll say that going to Drake, the only reason I went to Drake, and I'll quote a teacher that I had at Grandview, actually, and his wife was the, what do you call that, the dean of journalism. Mm-hmm. So I got to know her really well as well. But he told me, like, go to Drake, don't even care about the grades. Like, pass, like, do well. Like, but don't stress about getting A's. Like, you don't need to do all that. Like, make all the relationships you can. Like, there's a lot of people connected to a lot of places that come from Drake. So just get to know who, like, get to know who you could get to know.
Mm-hmm.
Those soft relationships will lead you to places you'd never think of. And, yeah, use that as the resource at Drake. So what was your question again? So I can wound back.
Yeah, so my question was, did college help you actually propel to where you are now? Like, would you have been able to be here without that?
I think so.
Okay.
I think because I'm... With the attributes I have from, like, my father and, like, my family,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm hardworking. I think I would have got to this point. It might have taken longer. Maybe it would have been faster. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know I would have saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of money.
So why go to college?
I know. I'm trying to dig that in my head right now. I think, because I will say at Drake, I don't think I gained any type of skills in my toolkit as a photographer while I was there for those, like, 2 years. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I got to do a lot more portfolio stuff. Like, the election came through. Like, it was a presidential year. So, like, I got to do that. The stuff for Drake Mag was cool. It was, like, lifestyle. Did some food photography. A lot of stuff with Griff. But I can't say that, like, there was a teacher there, a professor, that kind of pushed me, except for one, but it was videos, and I'm not even a video guy.
Yeah.
So I can't say.
Your YouTube videos, though.
I know. So, okay, yeah, I know. But I stopped making YouTube videos because I had so much school.
Yeah.
I know, and I miss doing YouTube videos. And I mm-hmm. tell myself constantly, like, oh, I'm going to start doing that again. But I keep pushing it, and I keep pushing it.
They're very good. I watched all of them.
Damn, thank you.
Yeah.
That's great. They can be a lot. Girl, you should see the stuff I've done lately. Like, I've been doing some videos again. And I'm like, damn, like, I'm way better at, I'm a way better editor.
Mm-hmm.
I have my style that I've always had, but I feel like it's matured a little bit.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting this, because this year I'm going to start making videos again. It's just doing it for myself, because
yeah.
I've been doing them for jobs, but I just haven't done them for myself. So it'll be interesting to have that relationship again with the internet, because it's storytelling, and I really love storytelling, and so college... I want to say yes. I want to say yes because I want to say Drake in general. I'm just talking about college in general.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Necessarily the degree. Is
yeah.
that what you're saying?
Yeah. yeah. I'm necessarily talking about go to higher education to expose yourself to, like, knowledge. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know random things about Western civilization because I took a class, and I think that in my head connects to a bunch of other things, and then it makes me a better artist or a photographer or whatever. Like, expose yourself to things you wouldn't. And I think college does that for you and exposes you to people you wouldn't have met. Maybe not so much like a DMAC, because DMAC is very like, there's a lot of Iowa people, like, mm-hmm. but I go to Drake and there's a lot of people from Chicago and Minnesota, KC, like Denver, like there's a lot of people from like all over, more than just the Midwest. And like, I know other people go to other schools, they meet people from like international or whatever. So I think, yes, overall it is. It's just hard to justify money.
Yeah.
Because it costs too much. It does.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So we're going to switch gears and kind of talk about like, you know, your brands, all the different brands you did with Ray Gun shirts. Was it Moussa Lemonade?
Moussa's Lemonade right there.
Okay, yeah. Yes. I tried to, a little segue, I tried to bring some for you, like as a present.
I have some.
Oh. Yeah,
it's okay.
But it's like a pop-up, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to find. So I was like, I like DM'd them and they didn't respond. They might be busy though, that's okay.
They're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kenco, Happy Home Coffee, mm-hmm. and that's just like to name a little few because you were talking about Hy-Vee and that stuff as well. What I noticed about what I saw was a lot of these brands are very inclusive. They're very, like, most of them are local. Mm-hmm. Why is those values very important to you, and are there other values you look for when you're collaborating with a brand?
First off, those are all my homies. Like, Moussa, Ahmed, we played basketball with each other when we were younger. Like, we did AAU together. Malik Miller, who owns Kent Supply Co., is a part owner of Happy Homes. Like, we went to high school together, middle school, and I think elementary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, his brother was in my grade, so I always knew them, and their dad, and their mom works at Drake, so I got to talk to her a little bit, too, when I was there. I just like working with people that are also doing stuff.
Yeah.
And then I also have a connection with, and if we don't have a connection, that's cool, like, we're just going to still do work, but I just did a video for Latinos in Action.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby, she runs it. She's across the hall now. And I've always been tapped in with my community.
Yeah.
Like, even during, I think that's just always been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I have a mentor. I don't even know what to call him. Yeah, sure, he's a mentor. He's a lifelong friend at this point. His name is John Walling.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I met him in middle school. He was my gym teacher. But this man, I like, put me on game, like, life values. No shade to my parents. They weren't, like, really great at doing that. They're not those kind of parents. So, like, luckily he, like, put me under his wing and, like, just was really putting me on. And, like, the service for, like, for humanity is the motto for East High School. And he really preached that a lot. Like, he's very much, like, a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he instilled a lot of good things in me, and I've always just continued to do stuff like that. Like, I always give my time.
Can you let us know what those values, like, a few of those values, like, what are they?
Oh, what's that one thing he used to say? Commitment? Hold on. But that's more of, like, I'll just say it. Like, he used to say this thing where it's, like, commitment. Why can't I think of it? Discipline, commitment, effort, toughness, pride.
Okay.
Yeah, like, he used to say that a lot. I think, I will just say those are the values.
Okay.
I think that if you just try to be a good person,
mm-hmm.
like, for me, I always try to see, I've always been like, I have trust in you, and it's yours to lose.
Yes.
Like, I'm never going to think negatively about anybody until they prove it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I've been burned on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather be burned like that than assume someone's doing bad, but really they're good. So I think it's, like, those kind of values. I mean, I try to be super optimistic. It's tough in this world, but, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing, there's, like, a myth that you have to stay, like, you have to go to, like, New York or California or all these things to be a creative. That's not true, though.
Not at all.
And then, so how do you get to where you are.
You just make,
here.
You make your own space. You find the people who align with you. Like, I can start naming a bunch of people, but like, you just find your homies,
mm-hmm.
and you make your own space, and you do the stuff you want to do, and you put in the world like your visions. Like, that's how you do it. And like, there's no excuse that we're in Des Moines, Iowa. Not to say I still want to leave Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
I've been here my whole life. But, like, you can do anything anywhere at this point. You
mm-hmm.
live in this world of technology and the internet and whatnot. Like, if you have a great idea and you're putting out the world, like, it's going to find that audience and people will mess with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you talked about like finding that, finding your passion and going into it. Can we talk about, I don't know how to say it right, taquillas in La University?
Oh, taquerías en La University.
Yeah, I like, yeah. On your website, you had like a whole little spot about it. And then can we talk about that for a little bit?
Okay, so this is a project I did for the Iowa Arts Council. Mm-hmm. So I got a grant to this project, and basically I just wanted to document taco trucks in Des Moines, because I travel a little bit, and I don't really see that vibe in other cities. Like, yeah, they have food trucks and whatnot, but we really have, like, a crazy community of taco trucks.
Yeah, where I live, there's three.
Yeah. Like, it's insane here. Like, there's definitely, just on University, it's got to be, like, 40 alone. So, like, with that project, I did an interview and everything with one of a taco truck owner, and it was supposed to focus more on how the pandemic affected these owners. Like, I remember during March, April, like, taco trucks were, like, one of the only things open. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, they're feeding the community. A lot of these people are, like, undocumented. Mm-hmm. So, like, to give, like, a whole little sidetrack, the person we interviewed, I, like, dug through the internet and found, like, because I knew she owned a truck, but then I'm, like, digging, like, through, I don't know what websites, but it's like, oh, this person owns a truck, and here's a phone number. So I'm calling them, and they're like,
what do you want?
How do you know?
Like,
so I, like, it's a whole thing of like, this person technically owns a truck because she's not documented. Yeah, it's like that whole ordeal, but I know that she's been doing taco trucks in Des Moines for like 20, 25 years. Like, mm-hmm. she's like the OG, like one of the OGs, and there's another guy who I know, his truck is like one of the, is the first. He's like 80 something. He wouldn't do an interview, which is fine.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's just super important to like highlight these people, especially my mindset at that time was like, these people had to work through like a whole pandemic with no, like they were getting stimulus checks.
Yeah.
Like they had to go to work. There was no option.
Yeah.
They were feeding, the taco truck owner I interviewed, she was like, yeah, that was like the best time for us because that's all people could go get. Mm-hmm. So they were making way more money than usual, but it just makes me mad that like city council people like try to like get these people off certain parts of lands because they're like, oh, like it doesn't look good for the city. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, that's part of the culture here. I don't remember which city council it is, but he's a person, we'll say that.
He exists somewhere.
With that whole project, my whole thing was, at this point, it's just like, I want those people to have recognition. Mm-hmm. They give another third place to our city where people can go hang out, eat, commune over food. Like, over food. There's usually beautiful artwork either on the truck or the surrounding parts of the truck.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think it's a beautiful thing that should be documented and shared.
It was. You did it. And it actually looked really, really good. And it was around the winter time too, wasn't it?
There's a lot more photos, actually.
Oh, okay.
I want to do like a whole gallery and a video for it. It just hasn't come to the physical world yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then also The Home I Never Know.
Oh, the book's over here if you want me to grab it so you can look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on one sec.
Okay.
So, Home I Never Knew.
This was, like, a wedding that you went to with your dad, right?
So, okay, no. Okay. So, to explain this project, A Home I Never Knew. So, I went to Oaxaca, Mexico for the first time in, like, 20 years in December 2020, January 2021. And it was the first time I've met my aunt down there. My grandma's come up, so I met her a few times here in the States, but I'd never been down to the ranch that my dad grew up on. So it was me just like taking photos. Like, I had no intentions of making a book. It was all shot on film. We went because it was my aunt's wedding. So that's the wedding you are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I photographed the whole wedding, digital and film, but in there it's the film parts. I think I felt, so being Mexican American, I'm super Americanized. I've growing up all the way until college, I felt so disconnected from my Mexican roots. So going there and the way they accepted me and was like, we love you. They like brought me along for things. They always kept me a part of all the activities that were going on. It was just so nice to know that I have another place in this world that I can go to, and I will be fully accepted. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, these photos are amazing. I've been looking at a lot of your photos even before I got here.
Yeah.
And I've noticed there's some type of, it's like, I don't want to say like isolation, but there's like a oneness. Mm-hmm. Like there's always a focal point and oneness of like something in all your photos.
I like to call it like liminal spaces. So they're like, you look at something and like you really feel the world within just that frame. Like, there's so much happening in some of these.
Yeah.
And some of them, it's a lot more calmer, and there's a couple, like, subjects you look at, or a singular one.
Like that one.
Like that one, yeah. This is honestly probably the best photo I've taken in my life.
When I saw it, I, like, yeah. When I saw it on your thing.
But, yeah, I think that, I made this project while I tore my Achilles, so I couldn't walk for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I revisited these photos, and I was like, man. And it had been a year since I've taken these, and I was looking back at them, and I'm like, man, I have a whole project here that I need to share, and a lot of feelings within these photos to go along with it. So I did a gallery at Slow Down Cafe, month long, did 2 shows, people came, I spoke for 8 hours each day, it was super great. Yeah, I'm really glad I documented all that for myself.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Thank you.
So how do you plan to grow your artistry in the future?
Okay. I've been thinking about that a lot because I've really been in my commercial photography era for the last 2 years. And a little bit of me, like, I love doing it. It's great. But it's not as fulfilling as, like, this project or, like, the Taquerias project. I wish I could have done even more with that and go, like, way more into depth. So coming up, like, dang, I don't like to tell things before.
Okay.
Oh, let me think. What can I give away? Okay, I won't tell you what the project is called, but like I'll talk about like a recent life events that will be about this project.
Sneak peek, everybody.
Yes, we hate sneak peeks. We like to do things when they're fully done. But so I just left this apartment that I lived in for 3 years called it's above a bar called the Fremont.
Okay.
I lived there for 3 years. It was my first apartment. I lived there with my childhood best friend and his brother. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me in my early 20s. Like, our rent was $258 each. So we were chilling.
Yeah.
I was never worried about money. I got to travel a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I got to just, like, I got to try things. I got to make projects. Within those 3 years, I was finishing my last semester at Drake. I transitioned out of my job at Raygun,
mm-hmm.
tore my Achilles. I got my heart broken by my first girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I changed so much as a person physically. So after I tore my Achilles, I actually lost 100 pounds.
Okay.
I run marathons now. I just ran my second marathon.
Yeah, you're in 515 Runners, right?
Yeah, that's my run club.
Okay, yeah.
It's called 515 Run Club. I've started a run club.
Mm-hmm.
I went through this whole job that was really, I learned a lot, but it was really taxing on me as a photographer and as a person. It left me with a lot of, like, wounds of, like, man, I thought people around me, especially adults, would be looking out for my best interest, but now that I know, like, I finally learned that, man, not all adults around me are looking out for my best interests. Some of them take advantage of me because
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how valuable I can be to, like, a company or a person. So there was that in that 3 years. So it's, like, all of that. And, like, relationships with, like, my parents and my sister. All that in one project in that apartment. That links back to.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm really excited to put it out there. There's a lot of things to relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see.
Thank you.
So that kind of ties into this. I don't know if that's like your lifetime goal, but what, or if that is. So what is your lifetime goal if you were able to like here's as much money as you want. What do you want to do with it for with your photography?
Oh, man, I would just travel if it's that.
Yeah.
But if we're being like realistic.
Yeah. Well, it's like a grant, so you have to do something
with
it, like one thing with it.
I think, well, first off, I would live in the States. Most likely, I want to live in Chicago. That's like been what I wanted to do for a while. Because it's like somewhat close to here. It's a quick flight. There's a beach.
Yeah.
There's really lovely water. It's an international city. I can fly to wherever real quick. And then the other 6 months of the year, I would live in Oaxaca. I would live either with my grandma, or if I had the money like that, I just have my own place.
Yeah.
I would love to be immersed in the culture, finally learn the language and become fluent. Mm-hmm. Really get to know my family down there and like have real, like I have relationships with them, but like more deeper relationships with them.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm back here working, I would love to do projects like this, even that are within myself or stuff in the community. I would still love to do commercial stuff, but maybe not. Like right now, I feel a little bit burnt out, overworked.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot. I would love to just, for myself, I personally, I'm not a good employee. I'm a horrible employee. I hope my current employer doesn't hear this. But I'm a bad employee.
What are you saying?
I love photography.
Mm-hmm.
I love to be artsy. I love to implement like the music I love, the movies I love to watch, like into the things I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like I love to pull from the world that I'm in. But like I would love to just have like my own 3 to 5 like big clients, do the work for them every month, have my own team of like friends or pull from. Like there's a artist across the hall, his name is Cecil. He's a painter. He's Mexican American as well.
Oh, he did a sip and paint, didn't he?
Cecil, he might have. Either that or Cercaso.
Oh,
or
I think Siri. It was Cercaso.
Yeah, Siri.
Okay.
I went to school with Siri at DMAC, actually.
Oh.
I know. We played basketball together while we were there. But him, he keeps telling me, like, man, there's not a lot of people like you. Like, from your background, like, you went to the Des Moines public school system, you went to DMAC, and then you went to Drake. Like, you were a Des Moines person.
Mm-hmm.
You have an immigrant dad and a mom that's from, like, rural Iowa. Like, mom's from Van Meter, Iowa, and my dad is from a mountain in Mexico. Like, these are rural people, and I'm not like that. And, like, kids need to see you, especially these brown kids, because these brown kids do not, like, the things they're exposed to from, like, other adults are, like, the things I was, like, my dad has worked in construction for 30 years now. And has worked in kitchens, and, like, he's a blue-collar man. So, like, he's telling me, like, you got to, like, let yourself be visible to these kids because you are letting them see a whole different world that is possible to them. So, like, I want to do a lot more of that. Yeah.
So more of the making the books.
I want to make the books. I want to, like, talk about life. I want to put other people on game. I want to go put myself on more game. Like, I want to live. Yeah. I want to live and then share what that living is like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Any words you want to leave with, you want everyone to know?
Oh. Man, I don't know.
Any advice?
Any advice? Okay, let's talk about advice real quick for DMAC students. Take the risk. Take it now. You're young. If you don't have kids, if you don't have anybody depending on you, go fail.
Go fail.
Like, go fail. Do it good. Don't go do anything if you're not going to do it well. And if you start it, finish it. It's hard. Ask for help. It's so okay to ask for help. That's been like one of the hardest things I've had to learn. It took me tearing my Achilles to get good at asking for help.
Yeah.
You can change. I've changed like 3-4 times at this point. Like,
do you like who you are now?
I love who I am.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I want to continue changing. I see other people stay the same for years, and I'm like, man, I'm not even the same person as I was this time last year. Like, I'm a different person again. So I think if you're not evolving constantly, you're doing something wrong. You're stuck. Change. Like, do something different. You can't, if you're doing the same stuff and expecting change, like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something different. people will push their perspectives of you that they have onto you, and it'll make it hard to change. Gotta let that go. It's tough. Other people expect certain things from you, and when you stop doing those things that they expect, it confuses them. I'm really lucky at 18 that I quit football. It's the best thing I did for myself. I let down a lot of people, I guess, because I was supposed to go do this little football thing. To me, looking back now, it's super insignificant. Like, who cares if I played football or not? All that really matters is, like, what I want, what you want. It's harder, like, I recognize that with, like, my peers and my friends from high school, my friends from college, the people I meet now. Like, I see it. That it's hard to, I mean, I'm going through it right now. Like, I'm going through a little transition of my own where I'm like, this feels like a really different year where a lot of things are gonna change and I'm gonna get really uncomfortable. I'm not gonna feel as safe as I've been feeling for the last 2 years. Like, I've been feeling safe. I've been feeling good. So yeah, go get uncomfortable.
Here's to being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Anthony. And then shout out to Phoenix for making this connection. Like, that's, I wouldn't so have crazy. Known about you unless he told me.
How do you know Phoenix?
We work at the Picker Nose together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just there, like, last Thursday or Wednesday, whenever the bingo bites.
Oh, I wasn't there.
That's okay.
But yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I think Phoenix is going to be here later.
Oh, like, is he?
8 or 9:30.
Well, tell him I said hello.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.